then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. From Anna by Patrick Friesen. I was eating a persimmon, trying to think of God. It didn't work. My tongue wouldn't let me get away with it. There are no miracles, only mirages in the desert and disappearances in the river. There's nothing human that isn't betrayed, and I know nothing but what's human, my hands, my tongue, and my face in a mirror.
Now I'm a solitary beast. A solitary beast collecting pollen from the apple tree. Solitary bee collecting pollen from the apple tree. Solitary bee collecting pollen from the apple tree.
That was Ladybug the Rambler singing with Yukon Charlie from The Silks, which is a little disc that I got earlier this year at a certain point. I'm not sure if The Silks are even still together. It's Christy Rose, Ladybug, and Chelsea Johnson, all really beautiful performers. If you ever see them live, they're totally mind-blowing. So today I want to do something a little bit different in the show. I haven't really been at a lot of spoken word events this month for various reasons. And so I looked in my bookshelf and I saw that I have this huge pile of spoken word CDs, you know, from friends who've given me their CDs or things that I've just collected over the time. And half of them are in little paper cases and some of them, the cases are broken, you know, and they're all handwritten and stuff. It's all very East Vancouver kind of style. So I thought I would share some of that stuff with you guys today, including that song that you just heard from The Silks. But before we get to the poetry section, section of the evening here on Audio Text, your Canadian writing show. And before I move on, I suppose I should say that my name is JC Peters. Welcome to the show. Glad that you're listening, if you are. So a few events that are happening around the city, if you'd like to go see some of the stuff live, it's quite a different experience, I would say, especially when you go see singers, and well, poets too, really. I mean, it's a very different experience seeing the person and feeling the energy in the room as when you hear it over the radio. So always good to go and check it out, and especially just to support local art, you know, which always needs your support. So to go and check out some of these things. The first thing is actually an ongoing gallery show. It's going on until November 1st. So you have a little bit of time to go and see it. It's a show called Rediscovery and Spoilage, and this is at the Gallery Gache. So it's sort of a written word and art exposition focusing on speaking out on behalf of the children of drug addicts, as well as sort of meditations on relationships with people who have addictions and stuff like that. So that involves Bernadine Fox, Shannon Rain, and Julie Perrell, and that's going to be going on at 88 East Cordova Street. So you can go by and check out the text and the art related to these events. So tomorrow is Thursday, October 15th. The Canadian Authors Association is presenting a talk on writing by award-winning author Sheena Lambert. I think that's how you pronounce her name, Sheena Lambert. So there's more information about that at jeank@dccnet.com. The tickets are only $5, free for members, and that's happening at 938 Howe Street, Suite 100, and that's tomorrow evening, October 15th. Also happening tomorrow, Thursday, is going to be a reading by Canyon Sam, who is the author of Sky Train, Tibetan Women on the Edge of History, which is a memoir about the history of Tibet from the perspective of its women. So that should be really interesting. That's happening at the Vancouver Public Library on Georgia Street in the Alma Van Dusen Room at 7:30 till 9 p.m., so another good one to check out, free event. Friday is October 16th. There's going to be a fall book harvest featuring live presentations, free autographs, displays, door prizes, activities, a book sale, and appearances by authors and illustrators Fiona Bayrock, Rochelle Delaney, Melanie Jackson, Oliver Newbert, Cynthia Nugent, Sherry Radford, and Gillian Richardson. Believe it or not, they are planning on doing this in only 2 hours, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., and that's going to be at the North Vancouver City Library, which is 120 West 14th Avenue in North Vancouver. So if you're up in that area of town, a good thing to go check out this Friday. Also Friday night in Vancouver, there is another open mic at the Lyceum, at Christiane's Lyceum. It's a mixed bag of open mic stuff, so spoken word, guitar, vocals, a cappella, depending on who shows up. It's a really intimate event, I've heard. I've never been able to go, but apparently it's a really nice event with a lot of really talented people who show up every other week. So if you'd like to go and check that out, it's $6 cover. All alcoholic drinks are $3, which is especially surprising that I haven't been. And this address is 3696 West 8th Street, so that's near Alma and Kitsilano. And the sign-up is at 8 p.m., and it goes till 10. Sunday, October 18th to the 25th. So this is an event happening over next week. It's the Vancouver International Writers and Readers Festival, and that's going to be happening at various venues around Granville Island. So participating authors are a ton. Margaret Atwood, Marie-Claire Blais, Douglas Copeland, who's a favorite writer of mine, John Irving, Alistair MacLeod, who's also really good, Peter Mansbridge, Heather McHugh, Miley Malloy, Lisa Moore. She's also really great. Audrey Niffenegger, Elizabeth Strout, and Sarah Waters. So I know some of those names. I don't know all of them, but that's sure to be a really cool week of a lot of things going on. I'll be sure to report back with what I find out. So more information about that at writersfest.bc.ca. So also Sunday evening, Thundering Word is happening again. So it's a spoken word and music open mic night at Café Malmar that happens, I think it's one Sunday a month, and this week it's going to be featuring the Boom Chicks, so that's a really good one to go check out on Main Street. It's always a lot of fun. And finally, Monday, October 19th, as always, it's the Vancouver Poetry Slam, and it's the feature this Monday is Vancouver's own the Minimalist Jug Band, so always a good time. I'll be sure to be at least at that one, if not anything else. So that being said, let's move on to our next spoken word track, which is going to be Scruffmouth, who I've definitely played on the show before. You might not have heard him for a little while, and he's featuring an artist called Selecta, and this song is called Super Black.
They say that super black is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
But I'm talking about scruff.
Then we can dig it.
I didn't vote. Every time I think about political fuckery, I remember Muhammad Ali, or should I say Cassius Clay, tossed his gold medal in the river Mississippi because he would rather be free. So tell me, how can a Congress be progressive? And the only bills I want passed through Parliament are my Ameros for a CD of P. Funkadelic. Vote for me, mayor of Chocolate City. I be totalitarian mind state, megalomaniacal dictator. When it comes to politics, I'm a hater. Like Melvin Tolson, I'm the great debater. I leap over lies in a single bound and use my third eye heat vision to refract the light of truth through the prism of self. I use pyramidal syllogism to free my ass from prison and take to the streets of the urban idiosyncrasies, selling $10 words and chapbooks. I invent words like Tesla invented shit, patents pending every time I spit. Sometimes words hit harder than Ali hit. It's the confession of a poetic hitman. I didn't vote, but I do what I can. Went down to the rally for Canada out of Afghanistan. As a revolutionary, my body and soul are my political party. I vote for me, I vote for I and I'm a majority government in the kingdom of self. I abuse my power, I hunger for more power. I devour my own skin so I can nourish myself with God. God called me a cannibal, chose me to right the wrongs in righteous songs. God called many but chose only a few. God the bouncer let me into the eternal nightclub for free with my VIP pass. In the club I picked up She Being Eternity and tapped that fat ass like a pint glass. I was supposed to listen to the DJ play righteous songs, but I was fucking eternity all night long. I have a God complex. I take it personally every time she says, oh my God, when we have sex. You can do it, put your back into it. I went back to it. I broke my back. My black split open. I lost my mind. I lost my freedom. It was the same his story again and again. I was just a revival. Free your mind and your ass will follow. Free your mind for your own survival. Accept ignorance as your rival. At the same time, insist your rival does not exist. God is the judge. Only God can judge me. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Tupac is in the club smoking a split with Bob in a rub-a-dub style. Pac flashes thug life and the tough gun flashes a smile. Quote eternal lyrics from classic hits in your righteous songs. Add those songs to your iTunes playlist when you are fucking eternity all night long. Make her sweet love for breakfast. Break free from mental slavery and run fast. Fast like a lightning bolt named Usain. Tussle with an alligator, wrestle a whale. Handcuff lightning, throw thunder in jail. Fast like a righteous hook on a foreman grill from Muhammad Ali. And if you vote for me, I promise to cut taxes and stay super black.
So that was Scruffmouth and Selecta singing Super Black. It's nice when you have these spoken word CDs too, especially because you get a little bit of music. It's just different from hearing it from the live recording. So just something a little different. You can let me know how you feel about it if you like. You can always email me, audiotechcitr@gmail.com. So coming up next, I'm going to be playing a piece from an anthology of women in spoken word in Vancouver, which is a CD that I got from T.L. Cowan when I met her in Edmonton earlier this year. And so I'm going to play her piece, which is called Working Title.
When I was six in the sticks. When I was six, I stood at the bus stop, singing songs to myself with my hands over my ears so that I couldn't hear what I might fear. The sound of the other kids making fun of my snowsuit that didn't match and my mittens that had a string. When I was six, I sat for 2 hours with my bum stuck in a snowbank. I sat until my dad came home from work, walking up our street and over the tracks. I sat until he was walking over the tracks and he saw me stuck with my bum in a snowbank. And when he asked me why I sat for 2 hours with my bum stuck in a snowbank, I told him why. It was 'cause the other kids didn't like my singing. Singing my church songs when I was six in the sticks. When I was eight, roller skate. When I was eight, I started me a little before and after school business on the side. I shoveled snow in the winter, I raked leaves in the fall. I brought garbage cans out on Wednesday mornings, brought them back in on Wednesday afternoons. The going rate, when I was eight, was $2.50 for a shovel, $10 for a full raked yard, and 50 cents for the complete up and down your driveway garbage can service. The money was good, which was good, 'cause that meant that I could go to the zoo and roller skate too, 'cause paying my own way was the only way I knew. Raking and shoveling when I was eight, roller skate. When I was ten, writing with a pen. When I was ten, I hired my brother, 'cause I saw a demand in the market and I needed him to fill it. 'Cause even though he was smaller and skinnier and younger than me, he was a boy, and that meant that he was born with the lawnmower operation skills necessary for such an endeavor. When I was 10, my brother and I, me and my brother, we mowed lawns all summer long. We were the traveling lawnmower kids. $5 for a small yard, $10 for a medium yard, and $15, please, for a millionaire's yard without any weeds. When I was 10, we split the profits, my brother and me, in my favor due to my administrative capacity. And we always saved some money to buy ourselves Christmas presents in December, and we always told folks that those presents were from our parents. 'Cause you know that stuff when you're 10. 10, writing with a pen. When I was 12 versions of myself. When I was 12, I washed dishes for a wage. And I was big so nobody knew that I was underage. I washed dishes in three sinks. First sink soap, second sink bleach, third sink scald and rinse. That's the way it was back then in the sinks. When I was 12, my paychecks were my own to use as I saw fit. So I bought clothes that fit. Clothes that nobody else had ever worn before, and I bought me a new school bag and some nice pens and some fancy paper. And I bought this great little birthday present for this cute salad chef girl who told me that she was too old for me. When I was 12, I shrugged and went back to school, and I told all my friends that I'd had such a great time at summer camp, and oh, how I loved horses and windsurfing and water skiing. And I told everyone that it was my mother who bought that school bag for me. So that was me. I, me, and all myself, which is a lot to know when you're 12. When I was 18, nothing ever seemed to rhyme when I was 18. When I was 18, on that exact day, I packed my bags and I ran away. I moved to a town where nobody knew who my family was, nobody knew who I was. And so, I made myself up to be the girl I'd always wanted to be, and that became me. When I was 18, I was nobody I really knew. I was a girl who'd never really worked. A girl who pissed away her scholarships just like everyone else. A girl with a shameful past and a shameful brain and a cunt who would fuck anyone who would tell me that they knew that girl who was me. A past is a terrible thing to waste, and so is a brain and a cunt and a name. But when you're poor, you might try to forget it. Try to erase that age-old shame of being who your parents were and who you're not gonna turn out to be. Not gonna turn out to be the same old trash from whence I came. When I was 18, I never admitted all that I'd seen or from where I'd been. 18. Nothing rhymed at all when I was 18. So, here I am, I'm 26. I got out of the sticks. Here I am, I'm 26. And well, I don't buy myself Christmas presents anymore, but I still buy birthday presents for cute salad chef girls when I get a chance. And sometimes now I tell folks that my parents are more broke than me and that I grew up without TV. And then again, sometimes I don't. Because even though now that it's punk to be poor, you just never know what someone might say if you told them that you actually grew up that way. Here I am, I'm 26, still working like I was before, but funny thing is, I'm not my own boss anymore. And when I think back to when I was a kid and I think about all that it was that I did, I know that it wouldn't have seemed half as unfair if everything that I'd ever known wasn't that everyone was whispering behind my back that I was that poor, poor child from the wrong side of the tracks. Now that I'm 26 and I've got me an education so it can appear that I choose to live in the conditions that I do and that I might now and then spend $200 on one pair of shoes. Now that I'm in a different case from my uneducated, poor, working poor parents who've never transcended their case, the untouchable, poor, working poor bastards, which is from whence I came and from whence I will never leave again. Here I am, I'm 26. Here I am, I got out of the sticks. Here I am, I'm 26, 26, 26.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We are now going to practice our continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the Sub is a little less formal.
The Honor Roll Sushi Bar. Get maki rolls, rice bowls, and bento boxes made fresh all day. Don't forget to ask about our party platters. Located in the basement of the Sub, the Honor Roll Sushi Bar is open Monday through Friday. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
So that was T.L. Cowan that you heard before that little break. And next up, I'm going to play a piece from the same anthology from Coastal Tongue. This is Barbara Adler.
Okay. Sharing.
The first chunk of this goes, credit goes to the goats who wrote this song, and also to the creator who always carries us along, and to the mother who grows us up and makes us strong. So,
and the second part of the song.
And the second part of the song is
yours,
Dion. Okay. It's a. The tricks of the shade, the trades of the trickiest, the stickiest motherfuckers in the history of hypocrites. Columbus destroyed more Indians than Hitler killed Jews, but on his birthday you get sales on shoes. Now this is all old news, but I'm afraid you can't find it. You snooze, you lose, so I choose to rewind it off of guns for gold, but behold the real plan. Using shady treaties, trading trinkets for land. They should have scalped his ass before he even hit sand. Everything was grand till 1609 is when the swiney swindlers started freezing and starving. But who do they turn to when they're times get hard? I beg your pardon, punk, but that shit's shady. Want relief from the chief after you rape his lady? Maybe your time's up. I'm no longer laid back after 500 fucking years. Here's a payback. It's a tribute to, yes, an acknowledgement of corrupt Gordon Campbell and all of the above. He's gone and given the green light, shove for again a corporate agenda. This particular political personality and is all pervasive irrationality, persuasive to none but the solely money-minded, has made my blood run pump with reactive rage. I find that stomach flipped, head trip, reading page upon page of his plagiarized script, well equipped with an ancestry of hypocrites behind him. Open eyes, never blinded. See, colonize and commercialize are synonyms for themselves and sinning men. We're swimming in the struggle there, floating on top, sipping in the brief bittersweet of exploitation. Not about to step off, but let me repeat, it'll be brief, cause the earth, she won't take much more, and you don't make much money making everyone poor. Eventually economy will smack the floor and crack. Let the light pour in, we'll be dancing all the more for revival of a real democracy. Cause BC's is dead, in the spirit of survival, people push ahead.
Whoops, that was not Barbara Adler. That was Sarah Kendall. This is Barbara Adler.
Fairy tales can come true.
Once upon a time,
it can happen to you.
There lived two linguists,
if you're young at heart,
who collected stories to scare children, reminding them to hurry home in the afternoon and to stay safe in their beds until morning, hoping they wouldn't be found by the ghouls, the ghosts, the goblins, who stood in the corners licking their lips while the witches knocked flat the walls of the crypts and emptied them into their cauldrons. While the ghouls, the ghosts, the goblins snag the sheets with their claws and their teeth and drag them off into the forest, where the sunset smelled like something burning, the night rolled in like a wheel turning over and over and over, turning the day lay dead at the feet of the children who tried to run but got caught in the ending. They were remembering there was no ending, there was no ending. But once upon a time, there lived the brothers Grimm, who collected stories because they knew they were dying, along with the voices to tell them, but they had nothing on the stories parents tell to terrify their own children. Legends where gaps grow like lost heroes, some shaped like those made by my great-grandparents, who smuggled Jews over the border and got caught. And if I am to tell it, my tongue trips over the words like mouse feet, like dust, like snowflakes, like how many comparisons do I have to make before I can say that my great-grandparents died in the Holocaust, as if I had some right to it. Because if you were to calculate it, based on my mother's blood or God's trademark on my spirit, then I'm not a Jew. But running through the equations of who killed who, as if I knew what to think of what Christ didn't do or what he did, then I find it ironic that Hebrew is the only dead language ever to be resurrected. And the word Holocaust once meant burnt offering. And I know this because both of my parents were linguists who taught me how words change in translation. My father told me that I am Jewish according to Hitler's equations, which isn't enough for me. See, the Holocaust is just a story without an ending, just a story told badly. So I pray to God my great-grandparents ended gently on a stance in a grasshopper winter. Pray to God they escaped the showers where gas fed in for water and filled dirty bodies with Cyclone B, blew them into balloons that floated out from the chimney for children who think history is a toy to play with, something to break when they feel angry. But history is not your pedigree. It's not growing on your family tree for you to pluck a C. Instant minority issues. History is what you remember. And I remember it badly. Which makes me like the survivors, like the only survivors of Ash and Air, who are now dying of Alzheimer's disease, trapped on the far side of irony, because they say that if you forget your history, you are doomed to repeat it over and over. But it's the same when your history is all you can remember, turning over, like bread in the oven, like seven-spoked wheels of a different fortune, bearing the bodies of rabbis and alleged goblins to beat down the paths of death camp rest homes, where the inmates don't care if the world forgets them, because they've already forgotten everything. But the ghouls, the ghosts, the goblins, hoping they won't be found by their memories, where lovers leave and never return, and the kitchens are empty, will be hungry soon. So hold on to your breadcrumbs, and the blue-eyed doctors with rusty knives stitched up our friends while they're still alive. So don't go into the showers, they'll gas you in the showers. And at night I feel my body burning, and sometimes I see the edge of a clearing. They told me a line, I'm slow in learning, the wars will only end with me. Over and over and over, turning to the daylight dead at the feet of my children, I try to run but get caught in the ending, remembering there is no ending, there is no ending. But once upon a time, there lived the brothers Grimm, who collected stories because they knew they were dying.
Fairy tales can come true.
That was Barbara Adler with C.R. Avery from Coastal Tongue, an anthology of women in spoken word in Vancouver. So the nice thing about finding all these CDs in my bookshelf is that we got a lot of women on the air today, which is pretty sweet. A lot of Canadian women. So I'm coming to the end of the show now, so I'm just going to leave you with one piece of Patrick Friesen's long poem, Anna, which was actually designed to be set to music and dance. So it's kind of just a part of what the full performance was supposed to be, but it's really lovely poetry. Anyway, Patrick Friesen is a lovely poet. So just this last little piece from Anna by Patrick Friesen, taken from the new long poem anthology, edited by Sharon Thiessen. Let's say it was 1958. Sail Along, Silvery Moon was on the radio. It was Sunday afternoon in July. I remember the river and swallows swooping low over the water. Silver medallions fluttering on their chests, the Catholic boys ran along the springboard and jackknifed into the Seine River. There was something ominous about the muddy water, like a dream anything could be there. Venomous snakes, weeds, and roots to clutch at you, or simply depth, something ominous in those lean white bodies of faith disappearing with graceful dives. I held my breath each time, wondering if this one would drown forever and not return. How could he possibly rise from that darkness of river and overhanging trees? How could the water give him back to light? But always each boy exploded into air, returning from death or dreams, flinging wet hair from his eyes, shouting defiance at the shore, and each of us shivering there. And then the sun was so bright, dancing in the spray around the diver's head, so bright, on his long arms cleaving water, you could hardly believe in anything. Let's say it was 1958. I was sitting on the fender of Father's blue Dodge, and it was Sunday, and I didn't want to ever leave the river again. So that was Patrick Friesen. I am JC Peters. This has been Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Next up is Sam Squanch's Hideaway. Thank you for listening.
Carrie, darling, Carrie. Carrie, when I cried. If I can't marry Carrie Brown, believe I'd rather die.
You have wandered into the folk oasis. Welcome to it.
Stop the world and let me on.
You are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I've been trying to keep my mouth shut, baby. I've been trying to change my dark ways, maybe.
Yes, 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday night. It's me, Val, hosting 2 hours of eclectic roots music.
I went downstairs to hear the sound. Broken lean and singing song and night.
Folk Oasis.
How long do you think it'll be before I can do the show?
You're starting tonight.
We'll do it live!
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
But a lot of these groups are nothing but pure carnality and fleshly and so forth. But
check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?